Good morning again, church.
Good morning.
Today is the beginning of the last month of our pastor's sabbatical. Not that I'm counting the days. The text for this morning is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I think we need to take a running start, though. You know, like the long jump or the pole vault in track and field. So I'm going to take a running start. I'm going to start reading at the beginning of chapter 2. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This is Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now here's the text for this morning. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to stay with the long jump metaphor a little longer. Picture Paul getting ready to run down the runway in the long jump. In verse 1, he asks the Philippian church how they are doing in their walk with God. Are they growing closer to Christ? Are they growing closer to each other? Paul is looking at the end of the runway. He's got his eyes on the board where he will plant his foot to take off and jump. Watch as Paul takes his running start. Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Then Paul picks up speed. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And finally, Paul pushes off the board and soars towards the pit. He lands and says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Paul started his letter to the Philippian church this way. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you heard it until now. Philippians 1, 3 through 5. After that, why does he start talking about selfishness and about not looking out only for their own interests? Turns out that two women in the church are not getting along. We find out about this in chapter 4. Paul says, "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement." Verse 2. Paul has appealed to their respect for and fondness of him. He said, "Make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose." But he realizes that this isn't going to work. He needs to make a stronger appeal. So he appeals to their respect for and fondness of the leader of the church, Christ Jesus. "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." These two women won't listen to him? Okay. Then they should look at Jesus. He had the attitude Paul was talking about in verse 3. "Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." What was the attitude of Christ Jesus? He was humble. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. High position equals power. The president of a company holds power over his employees. The president or king of a country holds much more power. And God is all-powerful. Anyone oppose him? No contest. But here is Jesus with a completely different attitude. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. In other words, Jesus was not going to pull rank on people. Zechariah describes a king who has what seems to be a most unkingly attitude. "Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Zechariah 9:9. And Jesus himself told his disciples that he came to do the opposite of what God would be expected to do. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 20:28. One thing that separates a king from other people: others do what he wants. Other people serve him. But Jesus, with an attitude of humility, did not look for others to serve him. Instead, he served other people. His attitude of humility led him to do things that no one expects God to do. This takes us to our second point: the actions of Christ Jesus. The first action of Christ Jesus was to give up his divine privileges. Verse 7. We have already seen this in our discussion of the attitude of Christ Jesus. Jesus did not lord it over people during his time on earth. Instead, he served them. One example of how he served is found in John 13, 3 through 5. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. What Jesus did was something that even the disciples wouldn't do for each other. This was a servant's job or a slave's job. No self-respecting rabbi would wash his students' feet. But Jesus did. And after washing their feet, he told them that this is what he wanted them to do. Verse 12, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." John 13:12-15. Jesus' attitude of humility led him to give up his divine privilege to be served. He told his disciples to follow his example of humility and to serve each other. The second action of Jesus was he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Philippians 2:7. The NIV translation says it this way: he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He made himself nothing. Here is one of the most stunning facts in the history of the world. Paul is talking about the creator of the universe. Paul is talking about the one who spoke everything into existence. Paul is talking about the most powerful person to appear in human history. Paul is talking about the one who is so powerful, he brought dead people to life. This is the one David spoke about when he said, "O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you." Psalm 8:1-2. This is the one John described in the book of Revelation. "And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white as wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like the mighty waves. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance." Revelation 1:13-16. This King of Kings, described as "I am," because he exists out of time, humbled himself and made himself nothing This is the second action of Jesus. The third action of Christ Jesus was he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The creator of all there is, the ruler of the universe, the prince of life, in obedience to God the Father, submitted to the most shameful death of all, death on a cross. Crucifixion is a form of punishment that was used only on slaves or on the worst class of criminals. Among Jews, crucifixion was considered the most horrible way to die. And it was even worse because of the curse written in Deuteronomy 21:23. Anyone who is hung is cursed in the sight of God. Why did Jesus submit himself to the worst possible form of death? Why did he make himself cursed in the sight of God? The Apostle Paul gave us the answer. This is what he said. Those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in the book of the law. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of the law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Galatians 3:10-13. Why did Jesus submit himself to the worst possible form of death? Why did he make himself cursed in the sight of God? Jesus died a criminal's death on a cross to rescue us from God's curse. Jesus deliberately took our place. He took our punishment on himself. So far, we've talked about the attitude of Christ Jesus. That attitude was humility. We've also talked about the actions of Christ Jesus that came from that attitude. These actions were giving up his divine privileges, taking the humble position as a slave, and obeying God by dying a criminal's death on a cross. Now we turn to the actions of God the Father. Our text says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:9-11. The first action of God the Father was to raise Jesus to the place of highest honor. God the Father did this because of what Jesus had done. We know this because of one word, the word therefore. The word therefore links the actions of God the Father to the actions of Christ Jesus. The message makes this connection crystal clear. Listen to how Eugene Peterson translates verse 9. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. Let's step back for a minute. We need to review a little history. At some point, God decided to create man. We know that this is the triune God from Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make human beings, or man, in our image, to be like us." God is us. The us are God the Father, God the Son, or Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Not long after God created man, man sinned. This sin separated humans from a holy God. A sin offering was required. The sinner was required to present a ram with no defects, which would be slaughtered. Moses explained why this was necessary. Through this process, the priest will purify you before the Lord, making you right with him, and you will be forgiven for any of these sins you have committed. Leviticus 6:7. Again, at some point, the triune God came up with a plan. This was an astonishing plan. In this plan, Jesus agreed to lay aside his divine privileges. He agreed to confine himself to a human body. He agreed to take our place and pay the penalty for our sin. That penalty was death. Jesus agreed to die in my place. Jesus agreed to die in your place. Jesus agreed to take all of our sins on himself. Jesus agreed to obey God by becoming the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. God knew that this was an outrageous plan, but God knew that this was the only way we would have a chance at life. He knew that this was the only way we could hope to be restored to him. So, did Jesus have second thoughts about this plan? He may have. Listen to his prayer on Mount Olives after the Last Supper. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Luke 22:42-44. Jesus knew that soon he would be arrested, tortured, and killed. He most certainly did not want to go through with all of that. But he knew that if he bailed out of this plan, none of us would have a chance. So Jesus obeyed God by dying a criminal's death on a cross. And because he obeyed God, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. What is the place of highest honor? The Gospel of Mark records a request James and John, two disciples of Jesus, made. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favor." What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." Mark 10:35-37. This passage of Scripture suggests that places of honor are immediately next to the most important person in the room. And Colossians 3:1 tells us that the place of honor is to the right of the most important person. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Because Jesus obeyed God, God raised him to the place of highest honor. God considered the obedience of Jesus worthy of the highest honor. Honor is not given to many people. Honor is given only to people who have done something very extraordinary. Honor is given to draw attention to a person for having performed something very few people have ever done. The Medal of Honor is presented to people who risked their lives. These people risked their lives so that others who were under the threat of death might live. Our text tells us that God elevated Jesus to the place of highest honor. He gave Jesus the highest honor because Jesus died so that others who were under the threat of death might live. Every man, woman, and child is under the threat of death. Only because Jesus died a criminal's death on a cross does everyone have a chance to escape eternal separation from God. Jesus' action was the greatest event in the course of human history. No one else had ever done anything like this before, and no one else will ever do anything to compare to this outrageous act of love. The first action of God the Father was to elevate Jesus to the place of highest honor. The second action of God the Father was to give Jesus the name above all other names. Jesus, as you probably know, means Savior. The reason for this name is given by the angel who spoke to Joseph about the baby his fiancée was carrying. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:20-21. How many people who swear by the name of Jesus know what his name means? How many of these people would continue to use his name as a swear word if they truly understood what he did for them when he went to the cross? The Apostle Paul said that God gave Christ Jesus the name above all other names. He did this because Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. Surely the one whose actions brought salvation to the entire world, should have his name raised above everyone else. And God was so pleased with Jesus, he showed his pleasure by exalting the name of Jesus above every other name. By his attitude of humility, Jesus made himself nothing. As a result, God raised him to the place of highest honor, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The attitude of Jesus was one of humility. This attitude led to his actions of giving up his divine privileges, making himself nothing, and obeying the Father by dying a criminal's death on a cross. The actions of God the Father were to raise Jesus to the place of highest honor and to give Jesus the name above all other names. Living Hope Church, I want to close this message with the words Paul wrote near the beginning of his letter to the Philippian church. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus has.